All right, welcome everybody to the Sleeper Wire Show. It's Thursday, February 20th, I believe. It's Fallon's birthday. Happy birthday, Fallon. That's my minion. Go give her a shout out. That it's a girl at Twitter, I believe so. Or it's just a girl. Just a girl on Sleeper. Show her some love. That's my minion. I love that girl. She's great. On the show, we got Rob Rose. We got Michael Lou, Angelo Fantasy. It's a great show. We got a lot of dynasty nuggets. We got some news. Maybe news or, you know, meh. Could be some yeet news for you 12-year-olds out there that know what that is, that reference is. Nobody on this show knows that. I tried to ask them and got some old fogies here, you know, but apparently I'm the oldest, so I'm not going to go into that. Anyway, how are you fine folk doing, Rob? How's it going? Good to have you back on the show. It's good to have me back on the show, I should say. You're usually on. How's it going, Rob?
Get off my lawn, you little whippersnapper.
That's great to be here. Great to be here on the show with another great couple of guests here, guys. Yeah. Certainly honored to be here with you. And it's a fun way to spend my night in the future because it's fucking Wednesday, man. So I don't know what you're talking about on this Thursday business. But
well, these people are listening to the show more than likely on a Thursday or on a Friday.
I like my explanation better. We're coming to you from the future.
We are. Welcome. See the glory in that. Pass by. Yeah, we got Michael Lou. What's going on, Mike? I'm trying to get you mic'd up for a minute. Mic me up. Hey, what's up, boy?
What's up? What's up, man? Thanks for having me on the show. You know, you and I had some back and forth on DMs on Twitter, and I'm really happy that finally we connected and ready to drop some knowledge, man. Big facts, dude. That's all we do out here.
Big trust. Whoa, whoa. Angelo, what's going on, man?
What's been, man?
In the making for some time.
Yeah, for sure.
Draft Genius was trying to make it on here, but he's not here. We got some Dynasty gold here that we're going to be dropping on the show. We're not going to waste too much time. We're going to get right into it. We're going to jump into the news. Big Ben, expected to be ready by week one. It's like Tomlin just came on First Take the other day. Gave a lot of news, but more importantly, Big Ben is expected to be ready by week one. How excited are you guys for this news, or it's kind of meh because we already expected it? I think it's kind of exciting just because I know he said he was going to come back, but there was reports about the elbow not being exactly right. So how you guys feel about this news? Angelo, I'm going to kick it to you first.
I mean, honestly, I think it's good news, especially if you're a Juju Smith-Schuster owner. I think just kind of getting validation that Ben's going to be ready by week one is big because we saw what happened when Rudolph was under center. His value took quite a hit. So I think for James Conner as well, presumably he's the lead back there in 2020. And I think their whole offense is going to take a step forward with Ben back under center for sure.
Mike, what are your thoughts on this? Fantasy implications for the other guys, Deontay, you know, Johnson and James Washington, obviously. We haven't seen as much time with Ben and these guys. So what are those implications there? What are you seeing?
Yeah, I mean, look, as a Juju Smith-Schuster, I'm jumping out my boots right now because I have him on all my teams. But I also love Deontay Johnson. I think he's actually the second there. I'm not that big on James Washington. I think he's a lot more limited in what he can do. He's a deep threat, so maybe Big Ben kind of help him unleash some of that. But I think it's going to be Juju one, Deontay Johnson the two that complements him. And then, obviously, I think they're going to lean a bit more on the run game now that they have a really good defense.
And, Rob, what are your thoughts on this? I know we love Deontay Johnson here at Sleeper Wire. I've dubbed him after death, after death of Antonio Brown, saying he's the second coming. I believe it. I believe this guy's super talented. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes over to be the one at some point, not this year probably, but at some point down the line, I think he could see it as we've seen Juju kind of be the number two and really effective at it. So Rob, thoughts, what are you thinking about this fantasy implications on Big Ben coming back?
For me, yeah, it's definitely a big up for Deontay Johnson. Not that I think, you know, Juju's going to take a hit from it. Obviously, he can only go up from last year, and expect him to. I mean, he's certainly somebody you can buy cheap right now. But I think Deontay Johnson's slowly going to fade into that kind of 1A over 1B for Juju. Like you said, maybe not this year, but a little bit of foreshadowing. We'll jump into Deontay Johnson a little later. But I think he's somebody that you really got to keep your eye on in Dynasty. By now, this news is only going to make his price go up in trades, and it's only going to drive his ADP up for startups. So make sure you get your shares of Deontay Johnson now before the hype train gets too big to jump onto.
Yeah, that's a great point. He is a great buy. Mike, Angelo, what are you guys paying for Deontay Johnson at this point?
I just talked about this on my show yesterday, but he's definitely a good buy candidate. I think I'd be looking to acquire him for like a late second, potentially up to mid second. I don't think you need to give much more than that, because especially if you're on the clock and people are looking at that new shiny,
right,
shiny new Antonio Gandy Golden or that shiny new Denzel Mims, you can just flip it to them for DJ. I might even get a third back, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. I think the biggest thing we have to look at, especially in Dynasty, is who's going to be his quarterback in 2021? You know, we really don't know how much more time that Ben has left. So I agree with Mike in that aspect. I think, you know, a late second or even an early third would be
could
okay.
Be Mason Rudolph.
But if it's hey, it was Mason Rudolph, I'm definitely not a buyer.
You're off that.
I'm definitely off that train. But yeah. But I like Deontay Johnson as a talent. I think he's a talented young cat, but he's not a guy that I'm looking to acquire, I guess, right now. Too much uncertainty in the future in the Steelers organization.
Good points. Good points. Greg Olsen, he signs with the Seahawks, but Will Disley is actually expected to be ready by week one, and they got Hollister. So how excited are you to, I don't want to say excited because nobody's excited to draft Greg Olsen in a dynasty, but Will Disley, I mean, this guy is going to have some weapons. He's going to have some nasty weapons. Russell Wilson. I mean, he's got Lockett. He's got Disley. He's got Olsen. Are they going to run a three tight end set? I mean, what's up with this news here? We can get to you first, Rob.
For me, it's fantastic to have an embarrassment of wealth. Is that the phrase?
Yeah. The problem to have.
Yeah. I mean, Greg Olsen is consummate professional, and I think it's got to help Will Disley in the future. Just being able to play with Greg Olsen for a year should really help some people out. As far as fantasy relevance, Greg Olsen has not really been able to stay healthy recently. I don't know that I'd want to invest a whole lot into what could be a huge hit. I think Jacob Hollister is super, super useful, and Will Disley is certainly super talented, but I'm afraid that man doesn't have any more ACLs to lose.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess Greg Olsen, if you're really hurting for the position and you can give up a late rookie pick and just to snag him off of somebody for hopes and dreams for this year and hope maybe you have somebody that'll develop after that. Maybe if you're sitting on somebody that you drafted early, tight ends are notoriously slow to develop in the NFL. So, I don't know that Greg Olsen's age and his definite departure into commentating is inevitable. I mean, he's gonna end up there. If it's not next year, then, you know, shortly thereafter. So not a long-term investment, but could be a short-term, like a stopgap.
Yeet, Michael. Yeet.
I'm not that excited about the whole thing. I mean, I think what it says is, you know, maybe Disley's not going to be at full strength week one. And, you know, I think I'm more excited about what could potentially go there in the draft. I mean, Disley already has a potentially, you know, career ending type injury that he somehow magically came back from, gets hurt again for the rest of the season. Hollister's a Jag, and Greg Olsen's like 99 years old and has an injury every single year. So I'm not too excited about any of those guys. I have Greg Olsen on the team on a tight end premium, start two tight ends. So I'm just going to ride him to the sunset, however many games it gives me.
But, you know,
I wouldn't be shocked if Seattle takes someone, you know, someone like Adam Trautman, maybe like a Harrison Bryant, something like that, this draft.
Odell Beckham wants to return with New York, the Jets, potentially, possibly. What do you think about this? This is just kind of rumor mill at this point. We can probably just quickly go over this. We're going to throw it to you first, Angelo. A return to New York. Odell, what are your thoughts? Yeet.
I mean, from a fantasy perspective, anything that Adam Gase kind of touches turns the opposite of gold. So, I mean, in all honesty, if he goes to New York, obviously it gives Sam Darnold a legitimate number one target. And I believe in Sam Darnold as a quarterback, but I don't believe in Adam Gase as a play caller and an evaluator of talent. I mean, we've seen Kenyon Drake, we've seen Devontae Parker, we've seen Ryan Tannehill. Just the misuse after misuse of all this talent. And then you get one of the most talented receivers in the NFL. And over the past decade, you can presumably say, potentially in New York. And I don't know how well that really ends. But it'll be really interesting to see if that actually comes to fruition.
Mike, what are your thoughts on Odell as a Jet?
Definitely not eat, man. Definitely not.
Definitely not eat, right?
As a Drake truther, I've seen what Adam Gase does to people, and it's just not ideal.
Yeah, Rob, what are your thoughts?
Get the fuck out of here! No way.
Oh man, crazy. Yeah, who's this guy? This is Captain Bananas Lee. All right, yeah. So it's pretty meh. I mean, I don't want to say it's meh. I think the story is meh. I don't want to call the story meh because Jay Glazer has been saying that Odell does want out for some time, even though we hear that, yeah, he wants to stay. But Jay Glazer is not wrong, like, ever. Yeah. Like, the guy, just don't question that guy. So he's probably going to be on the move sooner than later. I would like the pairing because I love Darnold, you know, and I'm a Jets fan. I'm a Giants fan. I'm a Bills fan. I'm a New York fan, so. Yeah, I'm going to move on, though. Per Kristen Dyer, that news was from. No Country for Old Men, though. Witten wants to continue playing. And then Redskin exercises option on AP's contract. So these old guys, they want to keep playing. It's very meh, right? I mean, are we drafting Witten or AP even as a third option or a fourth option? Or just leave those guys on the waivers? Mike, I'll kick it to you first.
Yeah, I mean, I think the AP signing kind of wasn't that shocking to me. I mean, you got Geis injured, you have Bryce Love injured, like, you have a medical staff that can't even diagnose a common flu over there. So I'm not that shocked. If they were to take a running back in the first one or two rounds, then I'd be worried about Geis's long-term prospects. But I wasn't high on them to begin with. And old man Witten, I mean, I think he tried his shot in the commentator booth and saw that it wasn't for him, so he's going to try and just ride this train out as long as he possibly can. If you're in a tight end premium league, like I said, he's kind of like Olsen. You know, you kind of grab him and fill him in for those 2 to 3 weeks, but other than that, you know, it's nothing to get excited about.
Angelo, what are your thoughts on these old men right here?
I mean, I don't think it means much for, I guess, the fantasy landscape. I guess it does mean a little bit for Bryce Love, if you think about it. I mean, right. He had complications post ACL, and I think that's not something to be taken lightly, especially with kind of the inept Redskins training staff. And we've seen Darius Geis and him coming back from injury and getting re-injured and coming back and getting re-injured. But all that kind of tells me is Bryce Love might not be game ready for a long time. And those of us who are kind of waiting for him to come back to his Stanford form might have to wait a little longer.
Now, I'm kind of targeting Bryce Love because I feel like he's still, especially with this news now, like especially with AP coming back, because AP's coming back. Okay, cool, fine. He's probably going to play another few years or whatever. But Chris Thompson is more than likely gone. I don't think they're going to bring back Chris Thompson. Chris Thompson's a PPR stud. Not to say Bryce Love is, but somebody's got to catch passes. I know Geis may, but I don't know. I feel like Bryce, he's a good buy low. Even if, you know, with this AP news, I feel like that probably knocks his value even down lower. Rob, what are your thoughts on this whole No Country for Old Men? These guys don't want to quit, but keep going.
Man.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice if, I guess, basically, if you had AP at the end of last year, there's no reason to drop him now. You'll probably get a few flex games out of him. Especially the beginning of the year, he seems particularly angry, and when he has fresh legs, so you know, it's not like he was being outclassed or outmanned out there. He was still running like a big angry heathen. So I wouldn't want to tackle him myself. And I think he'll still have a few games like that where he shows out, puts out, you know, 115 to 140 yards. It's just anybody's guess when it's going to be. So I prefer not to play the running back carousel of the Washington Redskins.
Would you rather tackle prime all day or Derrick Henry?
All day.
Honestly, I'd take Derrick Henry because I don't think he'll beat me with a switch afterwards.
Jesus.
Oh, God.
Oh man. Well, he's going to run you over and you're going to just, I don't know.
I've been hit by a car. I'll take that. I don't want to be beaten afterwards. That's like he took me back to his house and made me pancakes.
Oh, man. Did you play basketball afterwards as well? Or?
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
He also tackled me there. It was embarrassing.
It's at least he made you pancakes. I mean, pancakes are lovely.
They are.
Third year breakouts. We're going to move on to the next segment of the show. This is the segment you guys have been waiting for, right? Third-year breakouts. It's what we've been waiting for. The second-year players to target. Michael, kick us off, man. Who you got for us?
All right, first up, got Christian Kirk. Third-year wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
He's attached to Kyler Murray, who I absolutely love, in a Cliff Kingsbury NFL version of his air raid offense. So, you know, there's going to be a ton of passing volume there. Seemingly no one to kind of take the reins when old man Larry eventually, you know, decides to retire, which obviously he hasn't done yet, but that time is going to come. And, you know, more importantly, just look back to the profile that he has, right? I mean, I'm a huge analytics guy, and I always go back to the profile to kind of see what kind of odds those players can give me for future success. And when it comes to that perspective, Christian Kirk is elite. You know, he is an 18-year-old breakout. He was a dynamic playmaker at Texas A&M. He took off returns and took punts. He basically did everything, right? And then when he came into the league, he actually had a pretty good first year, despite being put into arguably one of the worst situations ever. You know, you had Josh Rosen, some of the worst play calling I think that all of us have ever seen in the NFL with Mike McCoy. And he was still able to produce. And then the second year, he improved. He got hurt, obviously. He only played 13 games, but, you know, 100 targets, was on pace for 132 targets, 83 catches, about 900 yards. That's the kind of development you want to see, and, you know, on that traditional three-year breakout path. So that's one that I love and one that I'm going to be buying everywhere.
What are you paying for Christian Kirk?
I'm willing to pay late first, anywhere between kind of that 109 to 112 range. Basically, like any wide receiver after my first tier of CeeDee Lamb, Jalen Reagor, and Jerry Jeudy, I'm willing to consider Christian Kirk over all those guys.
Nice. You want to go into your second guy?
Sure. Second guy is Courtland Sutton. I mean, not really a sleeper, not a shocker. I think he took a huge step forward in his second year, you know, kind of rose up to that alpha role, which is what you always want to see. That's a transition that's like really, really hard to make, I think, at the NFL level. Just like, you know, you're drawing new coverage, you're dropping the top coverage, and you're kind of like the focus of the defense. And he kind of stepped up, right? And he stepped up in a pretty bad situation. You know, he was catching passes from Joe Flacid for the beginning of the year. And you know, going forward, we hope that Drew Lock is what we see that he is. Honestly, I wasn't that high on him, but he's shown a lot of improvement in the NFL, so can't really ignore that.
Yes.
So I'm just like really happy about Sutton where he is, and I think he's going to cost you a lot, right? He's going to cost you a mid to high first. I mean, I'm personally taking him ahead of every single wide receiver coming into this class. So you're looking at a 1.05-ish area, but I think this is like a case where you want to buy high. You don't always want to buy low, because sometimes you buy low and that value craters in the ground. Right. You want to buy ascending stars that are proven, and that's exactly what Sutton is to me. And then I guess the last guy is Calvin Ridley. So he's real exciting to me. Again, wasn't that high on him coming in, given his analytics profile, but, you know, he's proven it production in the NFL. And if you look at what he's done,
beast.
He's beasted it. Yeah, I mean, he's a perennial wide receiver too, right? I don't really see him ever making that jump into like a true wide receiver one, but that's okay. Cause I mean, we're playing a game within a game, right?
We just want points. Right.
Whoever gets me points, I'll get that guy. I don't care if he's a halfback, fullback, tight end, doesn't matter. So, and the exciting here is if you look at his splits. So Calvin Ridley in six games without Mohamed Sanu, He scored about 17.5 PPR points versus without him, or versus with Sanu, he had 13 points. So you're looking at a 5-point bump.
That's a wide receiver one.
Yeah, and then with this is the exciting part. If Austin Hooper signs somewhere else, that's going to be huge. It'll open up a ton of target volume. Calvin Ridley without Austin Hooper, 22 points per game. So a small sample, three games, but that's a huge boost. And then with Austin Hooper, he's around 13 points. So a lot of upside there, and he's relatively cheap. I mean, people aren't really like that focused on him. They're all excited about the AJ Browns and the DK Metcalfs and all these things. So I'm totally willing to shell out again, like that lower to mid first for someone like Ridley, who's going to become an immediate producer in your offense.
What can I say, Mike? Asked you to come on the show, give fantasy gold, and that's what you did, damn it. So what are our thoughts on his picks? I mean, and what are we paying up? Or do we agree with his values? Angelo, I'm going to kick it to you first. Christian Kirk, a first round, Sutton, a first rounder, Kyle Ridley, a first rounder. I agree with all of those guys. I'd pony up that.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Really. 100%. Yep. I think even with Arizona presumably taking a receiver early in the draft, that's a high tempo A rate offense. They're going to throw the ball a lot, and Kyler Murray's going to keep improving. So they have more than enough to support two receivers, especially two receivers that could potentially be wide receiver ones. If Kirk stays healthy, he's going to have a hell of a career. So I like what I saw last year. I like what I saw at A&M. But yeah, he's definitely gonna break out if he stays healthy next year for sure.
Rob.
Yeah, I think his playing now three seasons with one of the best wide receivers to ever play the game and play the position that he basically is running essentially is going to be gold for him. He gets to grow with Kyler Murray. I think he's going to help Kyler Murray in that air raid style offense. He's a quarterback friendly wide receiver. And I agree with Sutton and Ridley, but I think Sutton's the guy that really stands out on that list. The guy I would probably pay more for than anybody else there because he was that good with that big of a pile of Duke throwing him a football in the Mile High Stadium. Yeah. I was so happy to see the Ravens get rid of Joe Flacco, and not because I dislike Joe Flacco.
Right.
I mean, the guy's a stand-up dude, you know, played great, won a Super Bowl.
He was elite.
Yeah, but he was never elite. I mean, like, literally, he had the best fucking playoff run in history, and that was in a contract year, and that's what got him there. And then we played mediocre football for the next eight seasons until Lamar Jackson came around and said, nah, fuck that shit, bro.
God.
This
what
is
a God.
Yes. So, yeah. Yeah, I like your values, and I would gladly pay all of that for all of that. So,
yes. Good stuff. Okay, Angelo, hit us, man.
Awesome. So my three are a little interesting. All three of mine are pretty big buy lows. My first one's Rashad Penny. We kind of saw him have a mini breakout last year when he played Philadelphia and Minnesota. You know, we saw what we saw from him when he was in college. And I think we saw why he was a first-round pick. And that's something that people kind of undervalue is he's only 24 years old. He was a first-round pick, so he has the capital behind him. And the biggest thing is we don't know what's going to happen with Chris Carson. If he gets cut before June 1st, I think he carries a pretty small piece of dead cap. But I believe he's owed $2 million if they want him on the roster for 2020. And that's interesting because, obviously, Penny's coming off his ACL surgery. So we don't really know what his timetable looks like. But we'll probably know a little more after the NFL draft. If Seattle does take a running back within the first few rounds or on day two, we'll kind of know what the future holds for Penny. But I wouldn't bet against a guy who has first-round capital and two more years left in Seattle. I think he's a decent buy low right now. And my second guy is Anthony Miller. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a really interesting one. Because we saw, like Penny, a mini breakout from him too. He averaged, I think, right over 10 targets a game from weeks 11 to week 15. He's on a pass-first offense. And I believe the Bears will have better QB play in 2020, and I don't think that's Mitchell Trubisky. So hopefully it's not. But I think he's going to be a guy that we look at as potentially an every week low-end, maybe wide receiver too, with upside. There's not much else in that offense besides Allen Robinson. To me, there's only a few bright spots for the whole Bears offense in 2019, and he was one of them. And I think if they get a better signal caller, and they've improved their offensive coaching staff as well, making some great additions with Laser and a few others, I think the Bears are under Matt Nagy our pass first offense, and I think he benefits directly from that and could see a pretty nice year three breakout.
And your last guy?
The last guy is probably the most interesting one, and we talked a little bit about this in the beginning of the show, and it ties directly into Greg Olsen, and that's Ian Thomas. I think he's an interesting tight end, especially if you're in tight end premium leagues. He's gonna have a starting role unless the Panthers go out and get someone in free agency, which I don't know if they will. Obviously, Austin Hooper's out there, Hunter Henry, among others. But he's a guy that could develop into a top eight tight end. He's got the size at like 6'4", 260. He's an athletic guy. He's a red zone presence. And he won't have Kyle Allen and Will Greer throwing the ball, hopefully. So I think that matters a lot. And in tight end premium leagues, he's definitely a guy I would target.
Those are great picks. What are you paying for each of these guys? I know you gave us a little bit on Rashad Penny, you know, alluding he was a first round pick. Would you pay a first round pick for him?
No, definitely not. I think that the injury is my biggest question mark. Post June, we'll know a lot. We'll know if Chris Carson's staying. We'll know who they take in the NFL draft. So we'll have some questions answered for us. And by that time, I wouldn't trade for him before then. Because he's a giant question mark with those two things, and you add his injury into there as well. That's a lot of question marks for me. But
you gotta pay something. So what do you pay for him right now? Like people,
I think he's going for rookie third. In all honesty, I think people are, you know, he's been 2 years in the league. He hasn't done much. People might be wanting to get rid of him for next to nothing. So I think. That's a fair price for him. I would pay the most. I would pay a late rookie second right now, if I really think that that Seattle is not going to bring back Chris Carson. I think that's a big one for me. They could do something in the NFL draft, but Penny's been in the year two, like been in the league 2 years, and him versus a rookie, and Penny has that first round draft capital. So I think. He might stick around in Seattle. If hopefully he's healthy, he could have a good year.
We're going to come back to the Cole Chris Carson thing because I've had some feelings. And I know that some of people know that listen to the show, man. It's Chris Carson, man. It's my guy. It hurts me when you talk badly about that guy saying he's whatnot over $2 million. When he's one of the rushers of the past 2 years and touchdowns and all that good stuff, man, the guy is a baller.
He is a baller. I like Chris Carson.
You can go on to your Anthony Miller and we can start picking apart that other stuff later. Just sell me on Anthony Miller. How much should we be paying for Anthony Miller, Angelo? Because yeah. I love Anthony Miller as well. Yeah. I felt like he was – I said something crazy in the off-season last year. Uh-oh. Saying that he will – get more targets than Allen Robinson. That was crazy, but it wasn't that crazy when it was like towards weeks 10, and I was like, wait, it's happening. I'm a prophet. It's true. I'm the prophet. But no, I was wrong, dead wrong on that. But yeah, I love Anthony Miller, so I love that. What are we paying for him?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, mid-second. I think right now he is at best a wide receiver too. I mean, we are right now at the point of belief where Allen Robinson is going to be back in Chicago, and rumors are surrounding him that he's going to sign a multi-year deal and potentially finish out his career as a Bear. And that's what we're kind of hearing right now, and it seems like he wants to be in Chicago. And I think Miller is a great secondary piece. You know, it's kind of like Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods. Robert Woods is one of the most consistent receivers in the league.
Right.
And that's the caliber of player I think Miller can develop into.
I love that, though. Towards the end of the season, you saw Robert Woods being the number one receiver on the team pretty much.
Exactly. And I think it's Miller just has to be on the field consistently. I know he had a lot of problems in his first 2 years in the league, sitting in zones and different route concepts and being on the same page as Trubisky. But I think, like I said before, the upgrade in the coaching staff, potentially a new quarterback under center in 2020, he could take that year three leap forward and kind of put himself in that wide receiver two conversation.
And what are we paying for Ian Thomas?
Oh, man. If you're in a tight end premium league, I mean, he's...
Yeah, oh, man.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Like,
probably late, a second.
I'd say a late second. We just don't know right now. You know, we don't know if they're going to get anybody in free agency. We don't know if they're going to grab a tight end in the draft. Because this year's tight end class is not as top-heavy as the one last year we saw Hockenson and Fant. I mean, both are great tight ends, in my opinion. Obviously, Hockenson got hurt and got put on IR. But I think this year's a lot deeper, and there's a better chance of them getting a guy that he can compete with. But, yeah, I'd say like a late second, early third if you're in the tight end premium league.
Rob, what are our thoughts on these valuations Angelo's given us on these guys? Do you feel they're fair? Would you pay more?
Would you? No, I would say I'd probably pay about those values. One thing I do want to bring up is the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks is Pete Carroll, and that man don't give a damn about no draft capital.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
Is so, true. That is true.
And Travis Homer is also a running back on the Seattle Seahawks that now – again, Pete Carroll does what the hell Pete Carroll wants to do. So they may take another running back early, but if they get rid of Carson, they may ride with Penny and Homer, and that would definitely bode well for Penny, especially if they're giving him the vote of confidence in his health.
For sure.
So if you get him now and all those things fall into line for you, you paid next to nothing for starting running back in a run-first offense. So that's definitely the one that I would keep my eye on out of that group. And Ian Thomas is definitely a huge, like, what a great choice there.
Yeah,
that dude is not on anybody's radar, but he will be by the time the season rolls around. So get him now before you can't.
Yes. Mike.
Yeah, I really love the Ian Thomas pick. I've been stashing him for like over a year now because I thought Greg Olsen would retire mid-year. So thankfully, I'm not paying the primo tax on him, but I think he's probably still worth it. He's that typical profile that I like to go for, that athletic type of tight end that's got the speed, the athleticism, and some proven production when he's been on the field. So really love that one. Miller, man, I loved Miller coming out of college. Just that I just hate Trubisky, man. I just can't get behind buying a secondary wide receiver that's in a Trubisky-led offense. Like you said, if someone else goes there, then I'm definitely more interested.
For sure.
Mike, you are not alone. I am here with you. I'm not going to get further into it. You guys know the Michael Jackson song. Yeah. And Ian Thomas, what are your thoughts on his valuation there? Or what are we paying, especially in a premium? Because that's I feel like a lot of us are playing in premiums right now.
Yeah. I mean, I play in tight end premium. I would definitely put out a second. I mean, if I'm looking at where I'm looking at the rookie tight ends of this year, so I'm probably taking a round where I'm taking them. So in that second round range.
All right, Rob, give us what you got, man. Give us what you got.
All right. Well, I'm going to start off with where we left off, and that's the Carolina Panthers. My first guy is a third year breakout candidate, and that's DJ Moore. And the man stepped up in year two and put up 1,175 yards on 87 receptions. He had 135 targets. That's huge. So you can't say he's going to, you know, break out entirely because he's already pretty much taken a big step forward. But I think he's got a long way up to go. We had piss poor quarterback play from Kyle Allen in the second half and then Will Greer. And I think there's the only way that can go is up. You know, Christian McCaffrey can catch the ball and run the ball, but you know, they also don't want to give him so many touches that he ends up with the Todd Gurley injury of you use me too much. And that is definitely real in the NFL. He's a smaller frame. He certainly hasn't shown to be injury prone yet, but he could be. So for me, DJ Moore, I expect him to score more touchdowns next season, which will up his fantasy game. And I think he's going to go, he's got the potential to put up 1500 yards. He's a monster in yards after catch. He gets like a running back. He's a small guy and he can get through secondaries. He just, he really comes down with the ball, keeps moving in the right direction. So I love him. And if I was going to pay rookie picks for him, I'm going to give anywhere from the one, probably 104 and back. And if I have to double it up with a third round in there, I will, because I believe in DJ Moore with consistent quarterback play. The only thing that would kind of shoot that down a bit for me is if Cam Newton came back to the Carolina Panthers. At that point, I don't know that I would value DJ Moore as high, because Cam Newton has been an atrocious thrower the last couple of years, and he's never been a high percentage thrower in his career. That just hasn't been his game. But I think DJ Moore could be the kind of wide receiver to elevate Cam Newton again. So, you know, fuck it. MVP 2020.
So DJ Moore, he was a wide receiver one last year in PPR leagues. Where are we thinking he's going to finish? I mean, it was a third-year breakout. You're saying he's what's got top five potential potentially, right?
I think he's got top three potential.
Ooh.
Whether that happens, I mean, that is absolute top. Everything lines up. The stars have, like, aligned with the what's that thing where the sun covers the moon, or the other way around? Solar eclipse.
Solar eclipse.
Yeah, even though it's not scheduled to happen for another, you know, like 30 years again, like, no, it happens this year over a Panthers game while DJ Moore catches like 14 touchdowns. So obviously he's got the talent to be, I legitimately think with the right quarterback, he could be a top three wide receiver.
No, yeah, I love DJ Moore.
Dominate the target share.
A little bit of a cop-out pick, but it's a great pick nonetheless. You want to give us your next guy?
Well, I don't know. I don't know now that I'm subject to...
Well, A,
ridicule.
You're going to get it from Mike, and you're going to get it from Angelo. They're going to say, you know, I'm 8-miling you myself because you're my bro. You know what I'm saying? I can do that because this is fam. You know, I can talk about my brother or sister. You know what I'm saying? But not everyone else can. You know what I'm saying? This is fighting woods. But I can do it because we're fam. Yeah, but yeah, you give us your second, yeah.
All right, well, I'm going to go with one of my fam then, and that's a Baltimore Raven. And somebody, it's a second-year guy that he was injured most of the most of his rookie season, and that's Marquise Hollywood Brown. I think Lamar Jackson passing offense showed that it is capable of carrying at least one and most likely multiple receivers to now, granted, one of those is going to be a tight end, and that's Mark Andrews. But Marquise Brown, fully healthy coming into the year, I think has a great potential to really start a breakout season. He had 7 touchdowns on 46 catches and 584 yards. So he knows how to find the end zone. He showed that he had big play potential immediately, first game of the season. The problem is, can he stay healthy and stay on the field? He does have a small frame, but I really believe in the talent of Marquise Brown, and I believe that he showed us exactly what he's capable of in that playoff game where he reached up and one hand snagged that ball in between 3 defenders. I mean, that was not maybe the smartest throw Lamar Jackson ever made, but when Hollywood came down with it, it looked like it. I mean, that was one hell of a play, and I think that shows that he's willing to make contested catches in traffic where he knows he's going to get hit and he can hold on to the ball. So that's huge for me. And now as far as trying to acquire him, I don't think I'm going to pay more than maybe let's go mid-second round. I don't want to get too hasty about this because there's some guys that are coming out in this draft class that are just as talented. I'm excited to see Jerry Jeudy play in the NFL. I guess I'll choose. I didn't know we were going with 3, so I picked too many people. So I'm going to go with one that that kissed a girl and he liked it and ended up with mono, and that's Sam Darnold. He's had problems staying on the field for the last 2 seasons. He's only played 13 games, but he's a good candidate, for being a third-year breakout because he showed the type of growth from season 1 to season 2 that you want to see out of somebody who should take an even bigger step forward in his third season. The only thing that really throws everybody for a loop here is Adam Gase is still the head fucking coach for the New York Jets. So that causes in and of itself major problems. And one of the things that I think we didn't mention earlier is that he's also not good at managing personalities. So Lev Bell, Robbie Anderson's going to walk and they're going to bring in some more wide receiver talent. That's a shame. I think Robbie Anderson is one of the most underrated wide receivers in the game right now, especially as a deep threat, maybe not all around, but as a deep threat, he is absolutely nasty. But he's going to go. So who comes in to replace that? If they can find a good speedster, keep the tight end play high there with Ryan Griffin, maybe Chris Herndon comes back, stays on the field. And that could really bode well for Sam Darnold in his second year with Adam Gase, but his third year in the NFL. I think the biggest caveat there is him staying on the field. But you can get him for cheap. People really don't – he did not put up statistically an amazing year, although he did win five of the last seven games for the Jets. I mean, he showed in the last part of the season after he came back that he has what it takes to lead them to a winning season.
Great picks. Like him. Love him. What are our thoughts on those valuations, Angela?
I like him. I think DJ Moore is a really interesting one to me because he's only 22 years old. So, right. I mean, he's going to be the age of some of these rookies that are coming into the 2020 class. So he's an excellent one. And I would pay, you know, 103 back, you know, for him, maybe even more than that and package it.
Me too.
Because I believe in him as a player. I mean, just watching his growth from year one to year two, I think with legitimate quarterback play year round, he can be a top end wide receiver one for the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. You know, we're looking at a guy that's only 22 years old and he's putting up 87 catch, 1,100 yard seasons with Kyle Allen as his quarterback, right? So,
right.
I mean, I think DJ Moore is, that's a great one. I would pay, like I said, man, 103 or so back. Neratu were great as well. I think Sam Darnold's an interesting one. I think he's kind of trapped in that Gase vice right now, you know, but I think if they get around to, he's also a really young cat right now too. So if they get around to actually getting a legitimate head coach, he's going to be a star in this league, man. I believe in him since coming out of USC, and really think that he can be something in this league and be big. Your last one was Marquise Brown, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sir.
Yeah. I like Marquise Brown, but my fear is his inability to stay healthy. Mm-hmm. And he had the Lisp Frank injury coming out of college at Oklahoma. And, I don't know if he's going to be a guy I can count on for 16 games annually. And I don't think he will, but he's electric. He's a playmaker. He's basically Will Fuller. You know, that's what he basically is. You know, he's Will Fuller in purple, but that's okay if you have Deshaun Watson at quarterback. But they're right. One first offense. The offense revolves around Jackson and his ability to use his legs to create plays and extend them. And their running game is one of the best in the NFL right now as well. So I just think he's a guy you can trust week in, week out. And so he's a guy I have a couple of my dynasty teams, but he's a guy that I'm not trying to actively acquire because there's too much uncertainty week in, week out. And also his target volume is going to be extremely volatile week to week. So he's a good player. I think he can develop into one of the best deep threats in the NFL. But with his injury history and the volatility of his target share, I can't buy him actively right now. But he's a player, I think, if he got into a different situation, I think he'd be fantastic. And if he stayed healthy, he's a top flight deep threat in the NFL.
And what are we paying for Marquise Brown? You agree with the valuation and Sam Darnold as well. Did you give us the what you pay for that, Rob, for Darnold?
Darnold, no, I don't think I ever did. And I think it depends on, you know, if it's super flex,
right.
I'd probably get somewhere up into the first round with that because I really believe in his potential.
Right.
But I got burned by that last year and started him for a while and wanted to punch babies. So
it was a year
terrible.
Too early.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. It was a year early. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. Mike, what are your thoughts on these valuations?
Listen, man, you're speaking my language. I'm number one DJ Moore stan, dude. I've been standing with this dude since, like, he's an analyst darling, so I draft a lot of them. This prior offseason, I overpaid for him in a lot of leagues, and now I'm just sitting here sitting pretty. You know, he's a great piece to build around, and because I overpaid in this offseason, he's kind of sitting there as my wide receiver too in most of my leagues. So
nice.
I'm just going to ride him out. Way into the sunset. I think that I did a little bit of TD regression analysis as well on him. And, you know, he's abysmal in the red zone so far, but he's just still young. So I'm not really going to say that, you know, he sucks in the red zone because he's
yeah.
Time to develop and learn. And let's be honest, like, it's not. I don't even know if he's abysmal in the red zone. If Kyle Allen is abysmal in the red zone,
like, yeah, and it's got to change, right? I mean, there's no such thing of. I would hope that there's no such thing of him just being that bad. He's good at everything else, but just not catching touchdowns. That has to change, right? You would hope.
Ask Julio, man. I will say I would pay the 1.01 for him easily.
Nice.
I'm sitting in a league there, and I need a wide receiver, 101. Take it. I'll take DJ Moore all day. You can build around that for the rest of your team. Love Darnold as well, especially in super flex formats. I'll give a top five pick for Darnold easily. He's still younger than Joe Burrow, guys. I mean, this guy came into the league.
Good point.
Just a baby. He was a baby. And look, he got some mono. He kissed a couple girls. and he missed a couple games. But, I mean, when I see him on the field, like, he's definitely improved a lot. You know, we knew he was coming in as a turnover machine. And I think people have gotten a little bit too spoiled with quarterbacks. You know, like, they don't remember back in the day when Peyton Manning came in. You had to wait like 2-3 years to see true Peyton Manning. You know, you have to wait 2-3 years before like Brady developed. They just see like all the Mahomes and Watson and all the crazy stuff they're doing. They just think that people come in and just produce immediately. But, you know, that's a hard position to learn, right? You got to be patient. So I'm definitely happily sitting on my Darnold chairs. I invested in him and I'm happy to sit on them. And I think he's an outlast Adam Gase. So he's 22 years old. Like I said, plenty of rope, plenty of time. And Marquise Brown. I'm in a similar boat with Angelo on this one. I think he's one of those cases where, you know, a player is way better in the NFL than they are for fantasy. Mm. Like he's just a great player to have on the team. He completely changes the defense. You have to account for him. And I think the Ravens are going to add wide receivers this year. So that's going to like take away some of the target competition. So it's going to make it a little bit more crowded. But I think he's a great player. For fantasy wise, I'm not looking to like buy or sell. Like if I have him, I hold him. If I don't, then I don't.
You're not really going to get the value that you really want from him. So he's just kind of a player that you hold on to.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense. I'm going to quickly run through my players. I'm not going to go too much into them. Calvin Ridley was one of them as well. I agree with you, Mike, there. John Ross is another one I think should be targeted. He's so cheap. Ronald Jones is another third-year breakout. I don't think they're going to bring back Barber. Steven Sims Jr., he's a second-year player to target, I believe. Paris Campbell is another guy. Quadri Allison, if they release Devonta Freeman, which it's a good chance that they do, Quadri Allison was on the goal line for about four of those touchdowns and snagged every one of them. Very high on that guy last year. You probably heard me talk about him so much and was like, what did he do? Nothing but target him this year. I love targeting second-year players because they don't do anything, and then you target them, you get them for nothing. Trevion Williams is another guy, second-year player. If they cut Geo, I think there's a path somewhere for some sort of a role if Mixon gets banged up or whatever. We just never know. It's good to have those handcuffs. So, those are my guys. As far as prices I'd pay, I agree with Mike. I'd probably pay – I love Calvin Ridley. I'd probably pay way too much for him. I'd probably pay a first for him or something like that, or a high first, John Ross. Probably like a third, or I try to get him for a third. I feel like a lot of people won't accept that right now. Ronald Jones, early second. Steven Sims, probably late third. And that's probably don't have to do that, but he's a guy that I really want to target towards the end of the year. He seemed to be that number two guy, and who knows, he could be the number one for all we know. I mean, McLaurin and Haskins didn't necessarily click until later on in the year, and Steven Sims seemed to have some consistency with them as well. So Paris Campbell as well, he's another one that you can target. I'd pay a late second for him. That's probably a little aggressive, but these are guys you want. Quadri Allison, I think you could probably just pick him up for waivers. I don't think anybody's really – you could probably pay maybe a fourth or a fifth or something like that, and someone's probably going to easily – and the same thing for Trevion Williams. I don't think anyone's going to necessarily want to hold them too much. So you can probably just get them in there as a throw-in with somebody else that you really, really want. These aren't names that are necessarily going to win you your league, but these are players that are going to be nice pieces, I believe. And you can pair them up with other players and, you know, maybe with other picks and try to get your DJ Moore, try to get your Sam Darnold. Those are my guys. We're going to sneak into the sleepers. As you guys could quickly go over the guys that I had in the valuations. I'll kick it to you first, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love Calvin Ridley. Sure. Definitely, I think some of those other guys, like, you can get them for pretty cheap. I like the Steve Sims one just because when I look at his breakout profile, he actually has a chance to succeed. I mean, he's a decent breakout age and had a decent college dominator. I do think McLaurin kind of synced up with Haskins a bit, and this is coming from like the number one like anti-McLaurin guy coming into this year, but it's kind of hard to ignore what he did on the field. Although that dude is old AF, man. Like, that guy is like like, he is already like gonna be 25 years old, right? Or something like
that. Yeah,
as a second year. So yeah, I like those. The other guys, I'm not a huge Paris Campbell guy. I just never really got into him, and I'm not one that really buys into the whole Ohio State like can't achieve market share narrative either. So that's not a guy that I'm really looking to go for. And I do think the Colts like add someone, and it's still really unclear who their quarterback's going to be. Like, everyone thought Brissett was the answer.
Yeah,
he ain't it. So
we got the answer for that one.
But Trevion Williams, man, that's a name I haven't seen in a while. That's what I really liked coming into the draft. I watched him, like, I'm sure Angelo has way more notes on him from film wise. But when I just watched him with like an amateur eye, I was like, man, this guy looks really freaking good. Yeah. And after he fell in the draft, I basically took him off my draft boards. But you know, if he gets the carved out role, I'd love to see him on the field a lot more.
Yeah,
100%. Angelo, thoughts?
Man, I like what you said. I agree with Mike on a lot of them. The one I think that's most interesting is actually Quadre Allison. We don't know what's happening to Devonta Freeman. Presumably, he won't be back in Atlanta.
Right.
So we're looking at a potential role from a guy who was really good around the goal line last year. We don't know what they're going to do in the draft. We don't know if they're going to bring in a free agent. So he's a guy I would take a stab at with later picks, because, like you said, he's might be on your wire. You know, no one really knows about him right now. The other guy that's actually really interesting to me out of that group is Paris Campbell. Am I a huge fan of his game? No, but I think he could be valuable and develop into a solid slot receiver in the NFL. He's a kind of a player like DJ Moore-esque if you look at the right type of skill he brings after the catch. And I think that's what he could turn into with more efficient quarterback play. Brissett's okay, obviously. But if he had Andrew Luck under center, I think we'd be having a far different conversation right now. So I think he's an interesting one. And I'm actually interested to see what he develops into in the coming years because of his injury. He didn't get to play much in 2019. But I think 2020 will be a little brighter for him. We'll hopefully see him carve out a role in that offense.
Rob, you got any thoughts on these guys?
Not really anything that Michelangelo hadn't said, no. But except for one guy, and that's I'm not in love with Rojo, my friend. I think Bruce Arians has an idea of what he wants in a running back, and Ronald Jones isn't it. And when you pull a guy for a game because he missed a blitz pickup, that doesn't bode well for his future when there's free agents on the market with at the likes of Melvin Gordon and some other big names out there. So if Bruce Arians can land himself a whale and really get a top tier running back in there, Ronald Jones, I don't think would sniff the field outside of garbage time and injuries.
That cost me a lot of money that week when he got pulled for no freaking reason.
That was so garbage.
Oh, man.
I played him in DFS, so, and I was so tilted. I was like, what the hell is going on?
This morning.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably right, Rob. You're usually right.
Well, it's still not a bad pickup to, if you can get them for next to nothing, which is what you can get a lot of the guys that you named. These guys are free.
Yeah.
They're essentially free.
And
so Quadre Allison and Ronald Jones are in very similar situations. If their team goes out and spends big money in free agency or spends high draft capital, those guys may not see the field. Or training camp comes, they beat everybody out, and now you got Quadre Allison as a starting running back, and you paid, what, nothing? Maybe a fifth rounder, a fourth rounder, something like that. Something that you weren't going to put hopes and dreams into. You thought you were going to stash the guy on your taxi squad. Fuck it. Why not? Go for it.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. Totally agree. Like, people always assume they know more than they know, myself included. Like, we all think Tampa Bay is going to draft someone or they're going to add Melvin Gordon. But on the off chance they don't, like, you just walked into a starting running back for dirt cheap.
And he wasn't bad either. Like, he actually had a pretty good – you know, I think he's on that elite list of guys under 22 years old and under having 1,000 total yards in a season.
Yeah, he's right. I was just going to bring that up. Yeah.
He's a solid piece, and I like his game. He put on some muscle to his frame. He was healthy, and that was a big knock on him coming into the NFL draft because he actually tore his hamstring at the combine. People forget about that.
And he
was recovering from I believe a grade 2 hamstring tear. And it took him a long time to see the field. And when he did see the field, you know, he didn't look good. He looked overwhelmed at times. But this past season, I thought he looked great. And besides the blitz pickups and that stuff, he's going to have to iron out as he gets older. But he's young. And I think he can develop a role in this league as a pass catcher and between the tackles rusher. So we'll see.
All right. We gave you the breakout, the second year guys, the target. You go out there and acquire these guys or not. If you feel like they're trash, maybe shoot us who you think you should target. Shoot us a DM and say, I don't agree with your assessment. Go target these guys instead. We got early 2020 sleepers, though, for you guys. These might change, but they're early 2020. So, Angelo, we're going to kick it off to you first.
Awesome.
Who's the sleepers? The guys are going to want us these leagues.
Yeah, I think my first one's Matthew Stafford. I think we forget that he was having an MVP caliber type season when he got injured. And that was one of the ones that I had him on a couple of my teams, and man, him and Kenny Galladay were connecting. And that was a beautiful thing to see. And I think Kenny Galladay's kind of taking the next step in his game as well.
For sure.
But I think getting weapons back like Hockenson and Kerryon Johnson will help as well. Will help a healthy Matthew Stafford in 2020. I think he's a guy that has, you know, he has that QB4, QB5 type upside. And I think that's an interesting one with how their offenses looked and how much they were clicking before he got injured. My second one I'll just go by on my list is David Montgomery. And Mike and I have chopped it up a lot about David Montgomery in the past. We've had plenty of conversations about him. But I think the thing that people are kind of not realizing is he's in that group that we talked about with Ronald Jones. He had over 1,000 total yards, almost 1,100 total yards, I think 1,074, as a 22-year-old. He ran behind a Tier 3 offensive line and played with a Tier 3 scoring offense. The Bears were abysmal last year offensively, and I think we forget that with all that, he had nearly 1,100 total yards and 7 touchdowns. That's not a bad season for a 22-year-old rookie. He's a guy I'm definitely buying pretty low on. I would pay a second for him right now. I think with the uncertainty of what's happening in Chicago, that you really can't pay much more than that. At best right now, he's a mid-tier to low-end RB2.
Okay, so I just made a trade recently.
Uh-oh.
Right?
Uh-oh.
Made a trade recently for David Montgomery.
Okay.
Now, I'm kind of burying the lead here because I actually got Chubb in the trade.
That's good.
So I got Chubb and David Montgomery, and I also got a fourth and a fifth rounder. I traded away the 102 and 108. How awesome am I?
I don't hate it. I mean, it's interesting because if it's super flex, like you can get, you know, guys like Burrow and Tua, but Nick Chubb's an elite running back in this league.
I think Chubb's going to be top three next year.
I don't disagree with you, especially with Kareem Hunt potentially gone.
Ain't going nowhere, boys. Yeah. Kareem Hunt staying.
Oh, man. we'll see. I hope not from me being a Nick Chubb owner, but I know I like it. And I like Montgomery as a floor play in 2020. 2021 is where it gets interesting with him because Cohen's contract's up and he had one of the most inefficient receiving seasons of any running back in NFL history in 2019. And he had 100 targets right around there, and he did nothing with them. He was a shell of himself from his 2018 when he finished. He was a top 12 PPR back. People forget that.
Yeah.
He was pretty damn good. But I think – they traded up in the third round to draft Montgomery for a reason with the very limited capital that they had. I think that means a lot. Capital doesn't mean much to me unless a team has very little
like
of it.
Nothing, right?
Yeah, like the Bears.
Yeah, that means much. That makes sense.
And so the Bears made a big move, traded up to get him. And they only traded up like a few spots to get him. Like they made sure they secured him.
Right.
And to me, that meant a lot. He was my RB1 along with Josh Jacobs last year coming out of that draft class. But I'm actually pretty optimistic with his future. He looked good behind the tier three offensive line that he ran behind with so many injuries and a ton of inept play on the interior. Obviously, Mitchell Trubisky under center, that doesn't bode well for his 2020 if that's the case. But if a guy like, let's say, Derek Carr gets under center, Andy Dalton in Chicago, then we're in business. You know, that offense is going to go from being 29th, 30th ranked in the NFL to probably being league average. And that's a big, big step forward for him. Then I'll go over my other ones pretty quick. My next one was Kenyon Drake. I think he's in a really interesting spot because people are like, man, David Johnson's going to come back. And that doesn't bode well for Drake's future. Well, Drake averaged like 21 points a game while I was in Arizona. He had two 40-point PPR games during that time. Those are some big ceiling games. And I think with how many points Arizona scores and how many plays they run in that up-tempo air raid offense, man, with Kingsbury, I think Drake could very well be an RB1 next year, you know, around RB10 to RB12, you know what I mean? So I think you're not going to pay that price for him right now, presumably with David Johnson coming back. His contract's too heavy for him not. And I think, and Mike and I have talked once before, David Johnson did not look like David Johnson last year. And his career has taken quite the downturn. And I think his only ability now to contribute to that offense will be as a receiver, not as a rusher. And I think Kenyon Drake proved that he's one of the most underrated and undervalued running backs in the NFL. And I think he might get his opportunity in Arizona next year to really show why people like me think he's a really talented guy. And then my next two are Robert Woods. He's consistent as they come as a high end wide receiver too. And I think he's a guy that showed towards the end of the season that he very well might be the number one target in that offense. Yeah. Brandon Cooks and his concussion history doesn't look good for his future. Looks murky there. I think he only has an out in his contract like in 2023. So he's going to be there. But I think Woods, you know, after a slow start last year, he averaged 22 points and 12 targets per game in his last five.
Yeah, it was insane.
That's unreal. And I think he shows that year in, year out that he's a consistent player. And like I said, with Cook's concussion history, after he went down, Woods really kind of took the reins and outplayed Kupp down the stretch as well, which is huge. And Kupp had an unbelievable first quarter of that season, of last season. So. I think he's definitely a guy that's highly on my radar and someone I'm going to be buying low on this offseason. Then my last guy is my favorite player in last year's draft. And it's not Dave Montgomery. It was TJ Hockenson. He was by far my favorite player in the 2019 draft. He was the one guy who said this could very well be a gold jacket caliber guy, a Hall of Fame caliber guy. And I think that is what he truly is as a player. And we didn't get to see it a lot. We saw it his first week in Arizona, but, you know, Arizona is the Santa Claus of the, you know, head world here. But, I mean, he got hurt. He got put on IR. He had a concussion. I believe he got put on IR with an ankle injury midseason. But I think Hockenson's a guy you kind of have to buy low on, especially if you're in tight end premium leagues. Some guys who might have bought him might be disappointed. But he's a guy, like I said, like he's a gold jacket caliber player. He's a great inline blocker. He's a great receiver down the field. And he's a red zone threat. And with the way Detroit's offense was clicking at points in the year when Stafford was under center, he's a guy I would definitely want to buy before his price gets way too high.
It's a good call, good list, good sleepers, love them all. Michael, you got some interesting sleepers here. Give us the gold.
All right. So I cheated a bit here. You guys went with mostly already the vets. I got a couple of rookies that I really love.
Nice.
First one on the list, Lim Bowden Jr. I really, really like this player. So, you know, he's someone that's super interesting because he's kind of that Swiss Army knife. Because in college, he played wide receiver. He broke out as a sophomore. Then he played quarterback this year. And running back. So this year he had over 1,400 yards rushing and 1,800 combined rushing receiving yards plus another 400 passing. So this guy does it all. He accounted for 43% of the team's total offensive yards and 38% of the touchdowns. In other words, put the team on his back, dude. This Literally. Guy was absolutely lighting it up. And he had three games of 200 yards plus and two TDs. He had one game with 284 yards and four TDs against Louisville. He's the winner of the Hornung Award, which is basically given to the nation's most versatile player. Prior winners of that include CMC, Barkley, OBJ, and one of my favorite receivers in 2021, Rondale Moore. So this guy is just really exciting, and I'm really looking forward to the draft and seeing if other teams value him, because if he lands with a very creative play caller, let's say, you know, the Chiefs or the 49ers or the Saints, right? I mean, he will basically take that Taysom Hill role and turn it into something electric and actually usable for fantasy. That's what I see in Limbaugh Jr. So not a name that's, you know, getting too much traction. I've seen him on Twitter for some of the more devy guys, but a name to keep an eye on for that third, fourth round in your rookie drafts.
Awesome.
The second guy I really like is Isaiah Hodgins, wide receiver. So he's another guy where it's like, I really like his analytical profile. I've studied some of the film, but again, I'm just not a film expert, so I just watch for fun. But he reminds me of like a discount Kenny Golladay. You know, he's someone that really knows how to use the boundaries and is really great in contested catches and like really attacks the ball. He's not going to be a super athlete or anything, and Golladay wasn't a super athlete either, but he kind of just knows how to high point the ball, and I really like that part about him. And he's, again, someone that's going to be cheap. You can get him in the third round of your rookie drafts, and he could be really good. And I will take him over guys like Brandon Ayuk all day. The other one is Tony Pollard. So I really like Tony Pollard coming into last year. I actually thought that, you know, I bought him everywhere, and I was willing to pay up for him just on the off chance that Zeke actually did hold out. But even this year, what we saw was, like, even with Zeke there, he got a chance to perform. I think there's a couple games where, like, they were beating the brakes off Miami. He came in and basically outperformed Zeke for the second half. There's another one. He had a couple really, really big games. And I think with Mike McCarthy coming in, there's a chance that he kind of carves out a pass-catching role, you know, kind of that flex RB3, RB4, which is still usable for fantasy. But more importantly, if Zeke ever gets injured, like, you're talking about an RB1.
Right.
And he's the one that actually has that three down skill set. He has great receiving ability. He has the size, the speed, the athleticism. So that's someone that's really cheap. And I think, you know, a lot of guys are going to be going for the new shiny toy, like Joshua Kelly or Lamichael Perine, all these guys who are, in my opinion, just going to be bench warmers their entire career. So when you're on the clock and, you know, thinking about copping that button for some of these like overhyped Senior Bowl guys, what I would do is I would try and acquire Tony Pollard.
And what are you paying for Tony Pollard? What do you feel comfortable giving?
Look, I'm comfortable giving probably a late second at the max, but I think you can get him for third. So the reason why I say that is because, like, those guys that I named, like the Joshua Kellys and these types, like, they're going to be going in third. Like Anthony McFarlane, like all these running backs are going to be backup running backs. He's the best backup running back. So instead of getting one of them, grab Tony Pollard.
Love
and
it.
And the next guy who I've been on an absolute buying spree on is Rashad Perriman.
Oh, yes.
And I've been paying like whatever I could to get him. So over the past 2 months, I think I've added him to like five teams. I've paid anywhere between, you know, 2/3 and 1/4, 1/3 and 2/4. The best strategy that I found, though, is find a team that has Rashad Perriman that has another like equivalent asset that you like that's a much higher asset and basically trade down. So what I did was, I took Josh Jacobs and I went to the guy with the 1.03 and a super flex. And I said, here, I'll give you Josh Jacobs for 1.03 plus Rashad Perriman. And, you know, obviously they think they're going for the higher asset, but I literally did that trade to get Rashad Perriman. Cause I think that 1.03 and Josh Jacobs are kind of a wash a little bit. It's a little bit more risky, but I really wanted Rashad Perriman because I think that now that he's a free agent, if he lands on a good spot, like if he lands on Philly, like that's a wide receiver too, right? If he lands on Green Bay Packers and compliments Adams, that's a wide receiver too. And he proved that he could do it as the wide receiver one. And that's the key. Like, it's like I said, that's a really hard transition to make. And without Godwin, without Evans, from week 15 to 17, he was the wide receiver two. Not a wide receiver two, he was the wide receiver two. So when defenses had no one else to look out for and they all had the Rashad Perriman, he was balling. So that's why I really like him. And then the last guy is Cousins. And I just don't understand the hate that Cousins gets from the fantasy community. I
mean, he's solid.
He's a solid guy. Like he doesn't have top five upside, but in super flex leagues, you know, for that QB2, he's money. And he's going behind guys like, you know, Rodgers, who's probably easily the most overrated quarterback, fantasy quarterback of all time. So I really like Cousins. So those are kind of my five guys and who I've been buying.
Love those guys. Love the picks. Rob, you ready for yours?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Let's do it, man.
Let's do it, man. Well, I'm going to start off with a tight end, man, because I like to fancy myself the tight end whisperer. And then I look at my roster and I've got like seven tight ends. I'm like, why did I do this? Stupid. Why? None of them are good. They're all backups. So, but the first guy I like is part of the Tennessee Titans run to success, and that's Jonnu Smith. I think he's got a real good chance to step up now that Delanie Walker is essentially, he should be out of the picture. I hope to God he's out of the picture. Good Lord, the man needs to be out of the picture.
Yeah, so, he's out of the picture.
Yeah, so Jonnu Smith, once Tannehill took over, started seeing consistent targets in that offense, and I expect to see him continue to get consistent targets in that play-action-driven passing game. He's extremely athletic and a red zone threat. So I expect Jonnu Smith to do well once it goes back to the Ryan Tannehill show, because I do expect him to continue on in Tennessee. I don't think he's as dependent on Derrick Henry as Ryan Tannehill is, but he's dependent on Tannehill. So I'm going to not talk about that because I don't want to confuse myself now. So the second guy that I have is Hunter Renfrow. And I really like this guy coming out of college because he has shown on the biggest stages the college football offers that he can be clutch. And he showed it already on the Raiders team. Now, they certainly had an anemic passing offense last year without Antonio Brown, and I do think that for Hunter Renfrow to truly succeed, he needs to have some more weapons in that passing offense, and I think you're going to talk about that a little bit too, Hoos. But for me, I really like what he did in the last couple games. I think it showed what he can do with that team. He had over 100 yards and a touchdown in the last two games of the season, so he's not the biggest guy, but he's crafty. He knows where to sit down. He knows how to get open, and he's very quarterback friendly. And I think Julian Edelman is a perfect example of what Hunter Renfrow could turn into if he develops in the league with good coaching, good quarterback play. The third guy I have is Andy Isabella. And, that one is not my most confident, one on that list, but I think Isabella has the opportunity to grow with that air raid offense. If he can stay healthy, get on the field, and get consistent, and Kyler Murray has more than 2 seconds to look downfield, I think that's really going to make a big difference in what Andy and Isabella can do, and they'll find more creative ways to get him involved. Hopefully the game slows down for him, and when you move that fast, that can be a deadly combination. My next guy is Noah Fant, and it's another guy on that Broncos offense that was able to show that he deserves a shot to be on your fantasy roster, even with subpar quarterback play. Now, he didn't look awesome in every game, but the games he showed out in, he showed out in. And he's another guy that had a couple games over 100 yards. So it wasn't all season long, but you can get him for pretty damn cheap. And I think with Drew Locke as the quarterback there, that gives them much more stable passing offense. I think Locke is the kind of guy that's going to benefit from Noah Fant's gifts, and he's good after the catch, super athletic. So I don't know, as far as paying for him, I unless it's tight end premium, I really wouldn't be putting up more than a third, maybe a third and a fourth, something like that. But tight end premium, then we start creaming up into some. Yeah, I might pay a little more for him because he's young, and I think he's got a good shot at putting up multiple good seasons. But the one thing he's never going to do is get hurt blocking. That dude is a receiver. The last guy I have needs to be mentioned twice tonight, and that's Matt Stafford. Nice. He's just that. It can't be understated what he was on pace to do, which was throw for more passing touchdowns than anybody else in the NFL this year. And he would have been right at 5,000 yards. I think he was at 2,499 in 8 games. So right now, because of that injury, you can get Matt Stafford. People have kind of forgot about him. Yeah. And my big thing is you don't draft quarterbacks early. in startup or redraft, unless we're talking about super flex, and that's much different. But especially in redraft, you don't draft quarterbacks early, because all the guys after three to 20 are giving you right about the same thing. But I think Matt Stafford, because of the way the Lions offense is set up, can give you more. So
great picks, great sleepers, love them all. I'm going to give you mine before we cutting close on time. So I'm going to briefly rattle off mine. I've got a large list here, so I'm going to kick it to you. I got Preston Williams. I also have Isaiah Ford possibly being as sleeper guys that you can acquire. They both did well, being the number 2/3. Isaiah Ford is really kind of no one really thinking about that guy. I think he's kind of depends on Preston Williams as well, obviously. But these are guys I feel like they have a really good – the Dolphins surprisingly has a young, good wide receiver core. Be interesting to see who they bring in, obviously, but these are early sleepers. Marvin Jones is another one of mine for all the reasons you guys alluded to earlier. Matt Stafford, man, that guy was just balling all year long, and Marvin Jones was like a wide receiver one, pretty much. Him and Kenny Galladay pretty much all last season. I believe he had 9 touchdowns. Or 8 or something like that, and he didn't finish all. He didn't play every game, so I mean that guy was just on pace to do what he does. All Marvin Jones does is score touchdowns anyway. I mean that guy's on the top 10 list since I think 2017 or something like that. Top guys scoring touchdowns. I think he had like 26 or something like that, or 24, 25, something like that. Then Tyrell Williams. Tyrell Williams is another guy that people are just forgetting about. He didn't, have the greatest season, but he had that start where that season where he just was killer for you. He just gave you double digit points pretty much every week. He posted 8 double digit fantasy points, just missing 3 due to injury. Jarvis Landry posted 12, played every game. Lockett posted 10, played every game. Tyrell's in his second year at his offense. If there's no quarterback change, he's as sneaky as they come. Sterling Shepard's another one, quietly averaged 14.2 fantasy points. That's higher than old running mate OBJ. That's higher than Diggs. That's higher than Boyd. That's higher than Sutton. That's higher than Terry McLaurin. AJ Brown. Don't forget about Sterling Shepard, guys. Please don't. Go back, look at your numbers. Sterling Shepard, man, the only thing there, obviously, as you go back and look at the numbers, is they didn't have their whole team on the field at the whole time. But when they did have most of them, Sterling was just shiny. You know, he's just outshining people. Sterling's shiny, what can I say about that guy? And he's easily you could get that guy for, I don't feel like you have to pay as much, but he's sexy. He's a nice guy you could target and do some good things for your team, for your fantasy team. Any thoughts on these sleepers before we wrap up the show, guys? We had Angelo sleepers, Rashad, Anthony, Ian Thomas. And then we had, oh no, sorry. Those are your second year players. So you got Matthew Stafford, David Montgomery, Kenyon Drake, Robert Woods, TJ Hockenson, Mike Catlin, Bowden, Isaiah Hodgins, Pollard, Perriman, Cousins, Rob had Janu Smith, Hunter Renfro, Andy Isabella, Noah Fant, Matt Stafford, gang. And then I just gave you guys mine. What are your thoughts on these guys? This is a good list, I believe. Guys you could target for, sleepy guys you could get. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I really liked Angelo's list. I could probably get on board with all of it, except David Montgomery. And not that I hate David Montgomery. We've talked about this a lot. Yeah. And, Angelo's actually convinced me and, sold me on David Montgomery, the player. I just can't buy the situation, and I don't think
changes
here. Because, like you said, they don't have a first-round pick. I don't know how they're addressing that O-line, and if they don't draft a tight end as well, those take time to develop. So I think there will be a buying opportunity, and I'll probably start buying soon, maybe midway through the season, maybe after this season, once Trubisky's kind of one foot out the door. but it's just really hard for me to buy in the situation because, like, as good as he has been, it's really hard to overcome, like, such horrible situations. That's the only thing.
Yeah. Well, they also just brought in Demetri Harris, which is the blocking tight end, pretty much. I think a lot of people are thinking he's going to be a weapon, but he's a great blocker. He's a really good blocker, and I think that's why they brought him in. I mean, they have four tight ends now anyway. So the fact that they brought in another one, especially with his blocking prowess, I thought that was a good. So, yeah, as far as addressing the question when you're saying you don't know what they're going to do there, that's just another piece. I mean, that's what all these tight ends do anyway. It's, I don't want to say that's all they do, but if you're not blocking, you're not going to really see the field. So he's going to be out there primarily blocking. He's just going to be out there blocking. They'll probably use Shaheen for passing situations, I feel.
Or not at all, hopefully.
Yeah, or not at all, hopefully.
Yeah, I just hope they do something. I just hope they do something, man.
Yeah, it's a bad situation. I mean, it can't get worse, can it?
I mean, I don't know.
It always gets worse, man. Unfortunately, it always gets worse.
Dark days to be a Bears fan, that's for sure.
Yeah. Angelo, what you thought on the sleepers that we covered today?
Well, I like them all. I thought you guys all did a really good job of kind of breaking down some players that the general fan might not know much about. I like Michael mentioning Lynn Bowden Jr. because he's a dude that I think can make some waves in the league, especially with how teams are starting to use more of that Taysom Hill role. You know, I mean, a guy who can play traditional quarterback, but is more that wildcat type guy. And he's a player that would fit into a lot of NFL offenses. I think we're going to see guys like that in the NFL draft. We have like the Swiss Army knife of receivers and Laviska Shenault Jr., who's probably going to be a first rounder. And I think guys like that who do have that that multiple tool skill set are going to be pretty hot commodities. And I think the combine will also tell how high Lynn Bowden Jr. goes. If he tests out well athletically, then teams might be more inclined to grab him earlier than they would have been. And I think he's going to be a guy that can go somewhere and have a role. We don't know what that role is. It's a big question mark, but he could have a role on any team in the NFL. And he's a guy that can be a playmaker on offense. And the other guy I love that Michael said was Tony Pollard. I think people don't understand how good Tony Pollard actually was. He had a really good rookie season in terms of efficiency. Obviously, Zeke's there until 2040, it seems like. So it's like he's not going to get much run there unless Zeke gets hurt. But I think with McCarthy coming to town, we saw how annoying it was for Jones, for Aaron Jones being a back in that backfield, and how different it was for him in 2019, finally breaking out and breaking through the McCarthy gloves. But I mean,
right.
I think we might see Tony Pollard in a third down role. I think Zeke is best on two downs from here on. If you have you have him until I think it's really 2025. I like
worst contract ever.
It's literally unbelievable how I don't know what Jerry Jones was thinking, but Tony Pollard has to have a role for Zeke to survive. For them to use Zeke for the next 5 years, which that they plan on, I think Tony Pollard's going to have a role within that offense. And I think he's one of those Alvin Kamara type players where he can thrive off the efficiency as a receiver, as a rusher, whatever it may be. He's one of those players that can do a lot of things and do them well. And I really like that one you had. That was a really interesting one for me. And then, Rob, I think you said Hunter Renfrow. I think he's really interesting to me because – if we look at most interesting to me, Tom Brady goes there. If Tom Brady is in Las Vegas, we know how much Tom Brady likes
the time. Yeah, Edelman Lane.
Julian Edelman, mm-hmm. Wes Welker. He's in that same type of mold. I don't think he's as dynamic a route runner as Julian Edelman was and Wes Welker was, but I think he's in that same mold where he can make plays in the slot and make plays in the short to intermediate areas. And I think he's a guy that will do that for a very long time, and he's going to be a consistent wide receiver three-ish. You know, if you really think about it, if he gets with a good quarterback, but I really like that one you had. And then, but yeah, I mean, you guys did a really good job on those.
Well, it's been a fantastic show. I want to thank you, Angelo, for coming on. Absolutely. I want to thank you, Mike, for coming on.
Absolutely.
And, thank you, Rob. For being you, you're just a great guy, man.
Ja Love.
it's nice to do shows with you, man. And it's nice. All right, man. We got a Pristine Auction that's promoting this show. So go ahead and go over to Pristine Auction, show them some love, and guess what? You put in Sleeper Wire, you get $5 off. So that's like seller's fees and whatnot and shipping and whatnot. So go ahead and go to PRISTINE auction.com. And again, go ahead and enter that promo code sleeperwire.com. And not sleeperwire.com, sleeperwire. No caps, no nothing like that. Just sleeperwire. And you get that $5 off. Shout out to the other shows in the network, Sleeper Wire Network, Break from the Grind, Fantasy Fam, Fantasy Champs, Top Tier, Fantasy Guys, all you beautiful people. And go ahead and plug yourself, Angelo, where the good people can find you, where they can love you, and hear more of your content.
Right. I mean, I'm just on Twitter, Angelo_fantasy. Be putting out my next set of my rookie breakdowns, my Y series. I think Jalen Reagor is going to be my next
Woo,
one.
Woo, so, baby. Speaking of
money. I'm really excited about him. I have him actually in the same tier as Jerry Jeudy, which is interesting. We know how polarizing Jerry Judy's been. He's a good player. But I think Jalen Reagor is going to be has the potential to be Steve Smith-like in the NFL. So we'll see. But thank you for having me on again, man. I appreciate it. Thank you for the invite. It's been a long time coming.
No, man. And yeah, I mean, if you guys don't, I mean, of course you guys know Angelo Fancy. I mean, he's got those awesome threads. You know, that's what you know him for, right? That's what people know you for, right? You just have like those awesome threads that are just never ending. And they're just like, this is gold. Why didn't I find this earlier? Yeah, go ahead and follow that guy over at Angelo_FF, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's Angelo_fantasy. And it's at, like, I think it's at Angelo_FF. That's what.
Oh, at Angelo. Yeah, I know. And it was at FF somewhere. Mike, man, where can the good people find you, love you, listen to your awesome content, find your awesome content, plug away.
First off, I just got to say, yo, y'all got to follow Angelo, man. I've been following this dude.
For sure.
I love his content. You know, he takes the time of the day to explain to noobs like me how to actually appreciate film. No, for real. You guys follow him. Like, he's some of the best threads. And, you know, I don't study film, man. Like, I'm just a dude that likes football. So I love trusting guys like Angelo and some other guys on Twitter when it comes
appreciate
to film.
Appreciate that, man. Means a lot.
So if you want to follow me, I'm at Mike Me Up. MikeMeUpp. Someone stole the one with 2p. I hate that dude. He's not even on Twitter. Give me my tag, dude. But yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I just shoot the shit, you know. I just like talk back and forth, you know. Sometimes people get offended, and I'm not that sorry. So
sorry, not that.
Yeah. So just come on here and talk with me. And look, I love talking football. So whatever you want to talk football, we can go back and forth. DM me. You want advice, whatever. I also started a new show over on BDG Fantasy. It comes out every Wednesday as a Dynasty show. Me and at FB God, we just shoot the shit and just talk football, man. It's just good times.
Go over there and check them out and subscribe to all of our shows. Subscribe to the Sleeper Wire show. Rob, man, where can the good people find you?
I am on Twitter at esorbor1, ESORBOR1, because my name is Rob Rose and that is my name backwards. So you can find me there. Also, stay tuned all off season long as Sleeper Wire and the Blitz Crew continue to bring you original content. We brought you such series as the Sleeper Wire All Decade Team. We will now bring you such series as Players I Would Like to Have a Beer With.
Beer with, yes.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
George Kittle 1.01, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man, and there's, of course, we've got shows all year around. We've got our Sleeper Wire shorts, and then we got our beat on beat too. We got our beat reporters that we're gonna be breaking down. We got beat reporters from all 30 NFL teams. You know, the real ones, not like, you know, not to say the guys that are starting out aren't real. We respect you. But, you know, the been babies, and you know what I'm saying? The guys, the Matt Trebek, and, you know, the nice guys, though. You know what I'm saying? Not the troll beat writers, because there's some of those out there, too. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying any names, but you know who you are. Never be on the Sleeper Wire show. Anyway, find me on Twitter, Who's the Prophet. You can find me on Sleeper as well, Prophet Who's. pushing all type of notifications and stuff like that. Yeah, usually if you see some sort of push on there, you're probably going to see either Livy, my brother, also a Sleeper Wire fam, and or you'll see it. Sleep probably you'll see my name on there. That's usually the notifications that come out there. Go to the Sleeper Wire Fantasy Club as well on Facebook. And thank you guys for listening to the show.